The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2015 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of eight recordings from the retreat called The Four Messengers and the Message, taught by John Yaffe and Bridget Rollins. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been a co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. John is a student of Matthew Flickstein and has served on the Mid-America Dharma Board of Directors since 2005. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Her mentors include Matthew Flickstein, Ginny Morgan, and Gloria Terania Ambrosia. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget shares the Dharma through classes, workshops, and retreats.
I thought I'd say a few things before we begin our next sitting. We've been into our retreating long enough and into that routine of sitting, and walking, that in addition to pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral arising regarding our breath and other direct objects of concentration and our meditation practice, we may have feelings of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral about this overall retreat process as well. The hindrances can be arising for us. The hindrances are the strategies that the self-identified mind resorts to keep your old patterns of conditioned tendencies of mind intact. In the long run, that egoic sense of self will in fact be won over and will understand how exhausted it is and how valuable the time out of the meditation practice and, in general, the slowing down that we achieve through this practice is to that egoic sense of mind. That egoic sense of mind is exhausted. It has been employing these strategies of resistance and defensiveness constantly and is so worn out that it doesn't have really good judgment. It doesn't appreciate how valuable what we're doing is on its behalf, as well as for our more total being. So these strategies called the hindrances involve things like sense craving and desire, where you say, well, this sitting is just boring. I want to think about food, or I want to think about going out and exercising or whatever. We may get aversive. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. My knee hurts. My back hurts. We may get very restless. We may get very sleepy. We may become filled with doubt. Why am I here? Is this, you know, does this teacher know what he or she is talking about? They may know what they're talking about, but who am I to get it? You know, all of this stuff that undermines our dedication and commitment to this process. So understand that the roots of that reactivity, like the roots of all these other forms of reactivity, is simply pleasant and unpleasant. And the leaning and slippery slope aspect of sliding into old patterns of conditioned thinking that these trigger. So again, don't deny that they're going on, but recognize this as part of the process working, as opposed to the process being defeated. A couple other thoughts before we start the actual sitting. One personal one is sort of shared from listening to a Dharma talk. The personal one touches on how seductive old patterns of reactivity can be and how easily we can think we've overcome them because things are going our way. When they're going our way. So the story is, very short story, it goes back to so long ago that Dharma talks were on cassette tape and not CDs. And I was in my car listening to Jack Kornfield, and he was giving this luxurious talk. He's this very charming speaker. He's got a very comforting, reassuring voice. And he was talking about attachment and non-attachment and pleasant and unpleasant and all that. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm into it. You know, I'm driving along. I'm sort of, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm unattached. I've got it. Everything's good. I'm not grasping a thing. And just at that, just literally as I was thinking, I've got this under control, there was a twist in the tape. And it went from his mid-sentence to dead silence. And suddenly, reaching for the cassette, driving off the road, punching the thing to get that tape straightened out. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Things were going well, and I was tricked into thinking because things were going well that I had it all under control. And basically, it was because I was getting what I wanted. So I share that lesson with you so that you don't drive off the road. The other lesson was from a talk that Gil Fronstall gave. It's one of my favorite talks, certainly of his. And he was talking about going, I guess as a younger man, going into the office of a teacher for an interview. And someone had given the teacher a statue figurine of the Buddha. And he was charmed by it. It was very, you know, in his judgment, it was very lovely. And in addition to finding it pleasant, he segued into, I like it. And then he segued into, I would want it. And he started coming up with this justifying story that said, if I had a statue like this, maybe this very statue, I would be inspired all the time. I would be a wonderful Dharma teacher if I had this. And, you know, he's running on this way and thinking about, well, how can I say to the teacher that he'd really like him to give it to him, all this? And then it suddenly snapped. Said, if the minute I looked at that, there was something about it I didn't like, the style of it, you know, the quality of the porcelain or whatever it was made out of, if he just thought it was a cheap-looking piece of crap, he would have been telling himself a completely different story. So the whole unfolding of the story he could see was triggered by the pleasant quality of it, and then the liking of it, and then the wanting of it, and then the storytelling that would justify the wanting and make the wanting a whole look like a wholesome action. And all that would have had to happen to make that particular ball roll down a whole different trail would have been, I don't like that. Why does that teacher even have that here? It's ugly. He's a fool. Maybe he shouldn't be my teacher. You know. You see? So, as we sit, recognize the power that this pleasant, unpleasant, and even neutral, because, you know, even the way we react to neutrality, we're going to slide one way or the other with neutral. Neutral often slides into boredom. This is just not interesting. Hence, it's unpleasant. Hence, I am averse to it. Or we say, this is neutral, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. And mentally we are, because we're off thinking about dinner or whatever. So recognize how powerful these factors are when we give them unwholesome attention. And all we need to do to bring them back down, to make the Lego blocks be just Lego blocks, is recognize what they are as they are and resist that tendency to slide down that slippery slope. So mindfulness is your shoe with cleats that keep you from sliding down the slippery slope. So let's resume our meditating. Get back in contact with direct experience, back in contact with the feeling tones that inevitably arise with that direct experience. and let it be just that. Nothing more, nothing less.